Okay, so we're holding over here on the single sheet that says page 3 on the top. So we left off last week. We were discussing an interesting halach in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaba says that when one davens for the Amid, when he finishes the Chazar Sashat, he need not take 3 steps back. He doesn't have to take 3 steps back. And we explained the reason is, Mishnah Berurah explained to us, based on Trumas Hadeshen, the reason is because he's going to say the Kaddish Shalom in a few minutes. The Kaddish Shalom is going to have 3 steps back, and therefore, he doesn't have to say, do the 3 steps at this point. So we pointed out, or we left off at the end of last week, we pointed out there would be a very important Afkamina Lahalacha. One Afkamina Lahalacha comes to us from the Kaf HaChaim. The Kaf HaChaim points out what would happen if, let's say, you have one person davening for the Amid, the first half of Shachris. Then you're going to have another person take over after Ashrei Volatzian. In that case, points out the Kaf HaChaim, you can't say that don't take the 3 steps back at the conclusion of the Chazaras HaShatz, because you'll get it in the Kaddish after Ashrei Volatzian. I'm not going to be saying that Kaddish, I'm sharing the Amud with someone else. So then points out the Kaf HaChaim, in such a case, then you would have to take the 3 steps back. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch on the bottom left corner points at another Nafkamina. He points out in Afkamina what would happen if the Shliach Tzibur makes a mistake. Let's say, for example, it's Rosh Chodesh. The Shliach Tzibur is davening his quiet Shemon Esrei, and he makes a mistake, and now he has to repeat the Shemon Esrei. But he has no time to repeat the Shemon Esrei because he's got to go up on the stage and do Chazar Seshatz. So the halacha is that he uses the Chazar Seshatz as his Shemon Esrei. In that case, points out the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he would have to take the 3 steps back. So we have over here 2 scenarios where one would have to take the 3 steps back, even though normally he does not have to take it back, either if they're switching Balei Tefillah between in Shachris, or if you, for whatever reason, did not daven a proper quiet Shemon Esrei, and now you need the Chazar Seshatz to be your Shemon Esrei as well. If you take a look over in number 26 in the Sefer Chaya Levi, this was authored by Reb Yochanan Vosner. Reb Yochanan Vosner is, I believe, a cousin of the famed Reb Shmuel Vosner. He's actually the current Belzadein in Montreal. If you want to go visit him, he is a... there you go. The current Belzadein of Montreal today. But he's a cousin. I thought he was a grandson. I correct myself. He's not a grandson of Rabbi Vosner, but I believe he's a cousin. But he is the active Zogzoten Shtag. He is the Belzadein in Montreal today. So he writes like this. He comes up with a different chiddush, which I found interesting. He says, what would happen? This happens more like in the Shtiblach. Well, let's say, for example, now up in the mountains where they have these minyanim factories. So sometimes what they do is they shuffle you around rooms. So you'll dive in half a tefillah in one room, and then they need another room for a laning. They'll shuffle, move you around, this, that, and the other. So he writes, if they shuffle you around, and now you're going to be davening Ashrei Volatzian in another room, he thinks then you have to take the 3 steps back. This whole idea is only if I dive in the entire davening in the same room. But if, let's say, for example, after Tachron, they switch me to another room because that room has a Sefer Torah, so they shuffle me to another room. So I'm not in the same room for the entire davening, so then I would have to take the 3 steps back. That's his chiddush. I don't know exactly where he got it from. That's the chiddush that he pointed out. Now, if you take a look in the bottom, source number 27, we left off with the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah pointed out something very important that Balei Tefillah need to know of. Mishnah Berurah says that if it's correct that the Kaddish that I say after Ashrei Volatzian goes back on the Chazar Seshatz, so the Mishnah Berurah says, following that logic, it would require the Balei Tefillah to not be allowed to talk until he finishes that Kaddish at the end of Ashrei Volatzian. So let's say, for example, let's say it's a laning day. So after the Shatz finishes Shemon Esrei, they have Tachanun, they take it to Sefer Torah, so he's schmoozing with his buddy on the side. He gets a few minutes down, they're laning, they're calling up the Aliyahs, they're doing Hag Kriyas HaTorah and Hag Ben Galilah. So the Balei Tefillah says, oh, I get a few minutes breather, so what does he do with his few minutes? He schmoozes with the guy in shul. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's not correct. Why? Because since I just told you that the Kaddish after Ashrei Volatzian is going back on the Chazar Seshat, so then you're not supposed to be mafsik. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, there really should not be any talking from the until he concludes that Kaddish after Ashrei Volatzian. So the Shatz really should keep quiet. Obviously, there's a lot of davin, but there's no reason why he should be schmoozing with anyone until he says that last Kaddish at the close. So if you take a look over at number 27, the right corner, the Debre Tzinarov raises an interesting question. He says, he writes, number 27, he says, I was asked from a Talmud Chacham, in my shatz mukhach lishtoik v'asar l'hafzik b'sicha b'sim tefillah b'kol ro b'kol aramir Kaddish Tzkabel. He says, is it true that the Balei Tefillah really shouldn't talk until he gets to that Kaddish after Ashrei Volatzian? And the Rebbe Sira Rav says, yes, I shafti the yofa hellier. You're making a good point. The yofa is a lishul kalocha, and it's correct. He says, you know why people are leaning? Because they don't know anything. They don't know this Mishnah Berurah exists, but it's a Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says black and white, that the Baal Tefillah is not supposed to talk from the time he starts Chazar Seshas until he concludes the Kaddish after Ashrei Yovel Tzin. So during Kriyas HaTeir, when they're taking the Sefer Teir, a lot of times you have it, you know, the Baal Tefillah, especially if he's a friendly, talkative guy, you know, he's been quiet for so long, he needs to explode, he needs to talk to someone. So during Bein Gavra La Gavra, here in the Harry, he tries to strike up a conversation. Mishnah Berurah says it's not correct. So therefore, the Debrei Tzin Rav just bringing out the point, like we saw earlier, that it's really not correct what people do. And then the Debrei Tzin Rav brings up something interesting, which I think I saw once, but you don't see it very often. Have you ever been to a shul where the Baal Tefillah, when he does Tachron after either Shacharis or Mincha, will do Tachron right on the Amud? He won't bother going to his chair like the rest of us. So most people say, oh, what a lazy Baal Tefillah. No, maybe not a lazy Baal Tefillah, maybe a very knowledgeable Baal Tefillah. Why would he be a knowledgeable Baal Tefillah? Because the cheshbon is like this. If I'm not supposed to talk, but it's all one long extension, maybe I shouldn't be walking around shul either. So obviously when he has to go to the Aron to take the Sefer Torah out on a laning day, he's got no choice. But if it's for just to say Tachron, maybe he should just better say Tachron on the Bima, on the Amud, instead of having to walk around for a seat. So the Debrei Tzin Rav writes something fascinating. Number 29, left side, he writes, the Shalti, I was asked, Em Yesh Mikor, is there any source, Lahad Nogu Tza Shlichei Tzibur, with some Baalei Tefillah, She'oikrim Ragleim Acha Chazar Seshatz, they actually move their place, the Yoshim Lamir Tachron, Ki Laro Linhoi came be Europe. He says that that was not the practice of European Jews. Again, we mentioned a couple times already that Debrei Tzin Rav was in Hungary, so at least, I don't know if he means all of Europe or at least where he came from, but this is interesting that many European Jews, when they down for the Amid, they don't sit down or look for a chair like we do. They do Tachron up on the Amid. So his answer is, Hey Shafti, Leminigzeh Mikor Nemon. He says, no, there's a good source to why you'd be allowed to sit down. They both have good sources. Very nice answer. So yes, there is what to rely on if you want to sit and move from your spot to take a seat at the Tachron. I do remember once seeing an Adam Gadol who I think did it in that spot. And maybe he was choshish for the Tachron. That what if it's one long continuation? Now by Mincha it's even more apropos. Because by Mincha it's mamash just a few seconds. Like by Shacharis maybe I'll argue as longer. Again, obviously if he's going to take a break to take the Sefer Torah out, then I don't see why it's any different to do Tachron. But let's say by Mincha, where you're right after Tachron, you get that Kaddish Teskaba with the Psias, so I can hear someone making an argument that why should he have to move out of his spot? Let me just do Tachron over there. I did find the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah does permit the Baal Tefillah to walk. And he writes over number 30, Mishnah Berurah says, Kigoyin masha onu noigim b'shliach tzibur shetekev acha chazar seshatz oike raglo v'yoshav letachron v'mekoyim v'shenogon moimar tachron b'yeshiva. Says the fact that the Baal Tzibur moves out of his spot, and he walks and he sits down and finds a seat. He also goes up to the bima. Even though he didn't get to the three steps that comes up at the Kaddish Teskaba, which is really the close of his Chazar Seshatz. He says, okay. He says, but we do it. He says that we find that they do it. He says, but any other moving they really shouldn't do. So let's say, for example, about Tfilu decides he wants to go for a stroll. He wants to look up a sefer. He really shouldn't look up a sefer until he gets to the second, until he gets to the Kaddish Teskaba, because he's really in the middle of the Chazar Seshatz. But he's allowed to walk around for what he needs to take a sefer Tachron, to go get the sefer Torah, but just to stroll around the shul, that's really not correct.
So if there's such a chashat, why don't they make them all take three steps right there?
So the Debrei Tzin Rav talks about that earlier. I skipped that piece, where he says that even if you're going to take the three steps back, you're still not going to end exactly where you're holding. He says, well, he comes up with a chab. He says, well, if I want to schmooze, so I'll just take the three steps back. Now I can schmooze. He says, no, it still doesn't make you mutter because you're still technically in it, even though you took the three steps back.
It's not the three steps, it's the
kaddish. Right, the kaddish is the reason why you're not really finished yet. So it's an interesting svara. So they asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, number 31. They asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky like this. They said, "Before the Mishnah Berurah comes out from the Mishnah Berurah, Shagimol Psiyah Shal Shatz Al Chazor Seshatz Ube Kaddish Teskabel. If you want to when the Shliach Tzibur really takes his three steps back, it's at the Kaddish. Im Lefizet Tzarech Hashatz LaHakpud Lamay Bim Kaimer Achi Yer Mekaddish Teskabel. So maybe it should come out that Shliach Tzibur should not really move until unless he's taking out the Sefer Torah. That Dain Lei Pasa. He didn't take his three steps back yet. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Loi Nol Gain. It's not the practice. So why not?" So he writes in the footnote, Shemati min Rabbeinu Shlita, I heard from Chaim Kanievsky, the kavanose kan shiyocho lozis ktsas. He meant that you're allowed to walk a little bit, avaleilich lamokam acher, eini mut el atzoech mitzvah ktsas. But just to stamaze stroll around the shul, that he thinks you shouldn't do. He says it has to be the tzarech mitzvah. Maybe looking up a sefer is considered a tzarech mitzvah. I'm not sure. But his point is that even according to the Mishnah Berurah, or maybe specifically according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Shleach Tzibur needs to realize he's really in the middle of the Chazar Zeshatz. He shouldn't start walking around or talking or walking around or strolling. You know, that's an example. He needs to, he wants to go to the other room to check something out. That's really not right. He shouldn't just walk around the shul unnecessarily because he's still technically in the middle of the Chazar Zeshatz. If you just turn to the next side of the paper, we'll just go through over here some interesting facts over here. They write over here number 32, another psak from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky said that the Baal Tefillah shouldn't even learn. He writes that Reb Chaim Kanievsky held the lilmoid osoloi achla hashem dvarim. He says that even until you get to Kaddish Teskabi, you're still in the middle of Chazar Zeshatz. If you're still in the middle of Chazar Zeshatz, the Baal Tefillah himself should not learn. Right? Very often you have like the guy figures there's some downtime, to finding a guy to do Hagbah and finding someone to do Galila. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky held that's not a time for learning either, because you're still, as the Baal Tefillah, you're still in the middle of Chazar Zeshatz. Then the last two sources were the stipler's practice. He writes over here that the stipler's practice was that when he would daven for the Amid for a yard site, when he finished Chazar Zeshatz, he would take 3 steps back. That's what he would do. The stipler would take 3 steps back. Now, we pointed out from the Mishnah Berurah, there's nothing wrong with taking 3 steps back. It's just not required, but it's not illegal. It's nothing wrong with it, but it's just not necessary. So they asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, so what did your uncle, the Chazinish, do? So his answer was, I don't know what my uncle did. Okay, didn't know what his uncle did. So he doesn't know if his uncle would take the 3 steps back or not take the 3 steps back. And the last source, we're just reading it very quickly, is you ever watch the Baal Tefillah when he gets to Salach Lanu? Some of the Baal Tefillah, like, they're not sure what they're supposed to do. Like, they do like a little hit. They're like, should I do this? Shouldn't I do that? So Chaim Kanievsky addresses that in number 35. He writes, "Hey, im hashatz makah be'egrif al liboy kishom esachlanu kichotanu." Should the shatz hit himself on the chest? Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, "Ken, yes, he should. Why? What's the chiddush?" So he explains in the footnote that maybe you can argue slach lanu is not. I'm not repenting of my sins. This is not mine. This is yours. So if it's your sins, so you should clap, not me. So why am I clapping for your sins? So Chaim Kanievsky says no. Even though I'm davening for you, and my heart doesn't reflect your sins, but that's the practice that the shlatz does, clap himself on the chest when he says slach lanu. So you don't have to be embarrassed or think that people are looking at you when you daven for the yomid. You should hit slach lanu on your chest the proper way. Okay, let's get on to the next booklet. We have 2 more booklets to get to, so we gotta keep moving. So if you take a look at the next booklet, it should be labeled Shliach Tzibur Chelek Beis. We're gonna talk about some more very, very important halachas regarding the Shliach Tzibur. So let's take a look. Source number one is from Nefesh HaRabbi of Shechter, quoting over here the practice of Rabbi Soloveitchik. So I was mentioning this to my shul over Shabbos. I said, you have to know when you're a Baal Tefillah, you gotta know which shul's menhagim are which. Some shuls do you a favor, they give you a list, which I think is really nice. That you go up to the Yomid, you'll see there's like a little list. Some shuls have longer lists, some shuls have shorter lists, and they tell you what our policies are. We do this, 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 and the other. Some shuls you don't know. So you can either guess maybe based on who the rabbi's background is. If the rabbi came from this yeshiva, if this was his rebbe, so maybe you can familiarize yourself that way. Someone told me the Young Israel has quite a large list of rules with dress code and other things. Fantastic, amazing. I think that's all good as long as everyone knows what the list is. So let's see over here. He quotes over here an interesting lumdis from Rabbi Soloveitchik. He wrote like this. We learned already that the Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch, source number one, Nefesh HaRav. The Mechaber says, Shalach HaChazar HaShashas Ein Terech HaChazan Lefsoy Lach of Gimel Psis. We learned this halach and shochet, and this is not disputed. This is not discussion. As far as I know, everyone agrees to this. That after Shemoneh Esrei concludes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, after the Chazar Seshatz is over, you don't have to take 3 steps back. You may, Mishnah Berurah says, but you don't have to. So we saw what was the pshat. So Mishnah Berurah quoted from the Beis Yosef. The pshat was because you'll get it later on in the Kaddish Eskab. But Rabbi Soloveitchik had his own interpretation. He writes this: V'hizber b'zer Rabbeinu. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained the pshat in the Mechaber is like this. He says, what's the idea of these 3 steps back at the conclusion? He says, the pshat is, hainu, even though you finished the actual text of the Shemoneh Esrei, until you take those 3 steps back, you're still standing in front of Hashem. Even though I'm not davening anything, I'm not uttering any more tefillah, because I said all the tefillah, but you're still considered standing in front of Hashem. Kol's man shall pasal achirf. Va'psila achrov haynu asimil avsokis matzavoy alozeh shal emilif neshem. This is the sign that your status has changed. We live in a world of status. So says Rabbi Soloveitchik, your status of lifnei Hashem ends when you take those 3 steps back. So even though you don't take the 3 steps back, you're standing in front of Hashem. You're not saying anything because you finished the text of the Shemoneh Esrei. But you're still considered in that close relationship as lifnei Hashem. He says, but that's very nice when you're davening by yourself. You're davening by yourself. Something to think about, that, you know, before you take the 3 steps back at the end of your Shemoneh Esrei, it's not just Shemoneh Esrei is over. It's now I am leaving a very intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, something to think about. But right, Rabbi Soloveitchik, I will...
Yeah. But the other side of that is that you have to understand when you're taking the 3 steps...
You're getting into that relationship. 100%. That's a great point. That's correct. We should all think about it before we start the Shemoneh Esrei. That we're about to change our status with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu from, you know, one level of talking to a much more intimate level. Yeah, 100%. Maybe we'll get to it a couple of weeks in the parasha. We'll talk about the 3 psias. Yeah, 100%. Good point. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, Avo b'shat shein enu mispal b'kol rum b'teres tefil satsme b'teres lech tzibur. But says Rabbi Soloveitchik, but what about the shats? He's like in a funny position. He's not davening because he davened already. But he's an agent. He's a messenger of the people. What did I appoint him to do? I didn't appoint him to stand in front of Hashem in my place. I appointed him to repeat the text. So his job ends when he finishes reciting the words. You can't tell me that the Shas is still standing in front of Hashem. He was never really so much in front of Hashem in the first place. His job was to recite something on my behalf. Therefore, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's why there is no need for the Gimel Psius. Now, it would come out in Afkamina Lahalacha. Right? According to Rabbi Soloveitchik's Lomdus, it really shouldn't matter if you switch Balei Tefillah in the middle. We keep on saying that if you switch Balei Tefillah, Lahalacha should be different. But according to Rabbi Soloveitchik's Lomdus, it shouldn't matter because he was never lifnei Hashem in the first place. But pointing that out. But he writes at the end, Omna minag rabbeinu, it was Rabbi Soloveitchik's personal practice. Shirak b'yoyim sho'im kalish tiskabal teku from yad bigma chazor shashatz, without any interruptions like tachron, oz yesh le lachaz lismachal gimel psir shibazor kadish. Interesting. Practically, Rabbi Soloveitchik, after all the lomdus is said and done, he would follow the following practice. If there'd be a long break, let's say, for example, it'd be a day when there's tachron, or Monday and Thursday, then Rabbi Soloveitchik would take the 3 steps back. But let's say it'd be like a typical mincha. So you go straight from the tachron, straight to the kadosh tiskabel, then Rabbi Soloveitchik would not take the 3 steps back. Okay, interesting practice from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Let's move on to another very touchy topic for Balei Tefillah. Says the Shulchan Aruch number 2. Kishiyachzir shleach tzibur ha-tefillah. When the shat starts, his chazor shashat, yoymer gam kein Hashem svasai tiftach. This is another thing Balei Tefillah never know what to do. Should they say Hashem Svasai? Don't they say Hashem Svasai? What do they do with that? So the Shulchan Aruch is very clear. He actually writes about this in 2 places. Not only once, he writes it twice. Shulchan Aruch writes that the Shliach Tzibur does say Hashem Svasai Tiftach before he starts Chazar Seshat. And the logic is very simple because Hashem Svasai Tiftach basically means Hashem give me the ability to speak. So you need the ability to speak here also because you're speaking on behalf of the Tzibur. However, he writes, but avol ein oime b'soif atfila yihila ratzon. But you don't end off yihila ratzon imefi v'agen b'lifanach Hashem tzuri v'gali. That part you don't say. Okay, we'll talk about that. Let's see. Mishnah Berurah explains why don't you have to say those words? Says Mishnah Berurah number 3. The saimech altas kabel tzolayz yisham ala b'soif. Because what does yihila ratzon imefi mean? Please Hashem accept my words. That's what the skabel tzolayzim means. It's the same words. So the same logic that we had with the 3 steps back. That the 3 steps back, you say in the Kaddish count for this. So says the Mishnah Berurah here also. The words Yehila Ratzon Mefri, I will get when I say the words Tiskabel Tzolayson, Hashem should accept my tefillas. However, points out the Mishnah Berurah, Ubishlokos of Loi Mayhila Ratzon. But the Shlah thought that no, the Shatz should say Yehila Ratzon. Because of Agra, Divri HaShlah Iker. And the Gra writes that the Shulah is the main practice. So that's why many Ashkenazic Litvish shuls will say Yehila Ratzon Mefri out loud, even though the Ramah says not to, but the Vilna Gaon said to do. So that's why many of the shuls do say it out loud. But again, Hashem Svasai Tiftach is not in a discussion even. It says very clearly. The Shatz is supposed to say Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Now, if you take a look over in number 4, in the Sefer Chaya Levi, back to Rabbi Chanan Vosler, the Dayan from Montreal, he says, Tupshatim. We saw from the Mishnah Berurah one reason why you don't have to say either Ratzon Mefi, and the reason was because you're going to get in the Shemoneh Esrei Tiskabel Tzolayson. But he comes up with another reason. But before we see his reason, let's work this out amongst ourselves. What happens if you're not going to be the Shliach Tzibur but to say Kaddish Deskabel? Let's say you're switching Balei Tefillah. Very often in many shuls, we're going to talk about, in our next booklet, we're going to talk about if you have multiple chiyum, should you make multiple minyanim? That's a very, very hot topic, which we have to get to Bli Neder in our last booklet. But very often you have multiple chiyuvim. So the best thing, which is what Rav Moshe paskins, is divide up the davening. So let's say he's dividing up shachris. So the first guy's getting till tachron, and the second guy's taking on after Ashrei V'Altzin. So who's going to say the words Tiskabot Tzaloysan? The second Bal Tefillah. So if the reason why I don't have to say either Rotzen and Mefi is because I'm going to say Tiskabot Tzaloysan in a few minutes, I'm not saying Tiskabot Tzaloysan. I'm not getting the Omud. So then the chayyur with halacha would be that you would have to say yil ratzar im refi. However, if you look in Chaya Levi, Rabbi Chonah Vosner writes the following. He says that there's really two reasons not to say yil ratzar. First reason he gives to us is the reason that we saw. But he says another reason. If you skip with me, he writes, oy tambazel, like five lines in, the kibin de enem ispal al atzmo yil shaykh loy yil ratzar im refi yil bil fenech. He says there's another reason why you don't have to say yil ratzar. Yil ratzar im refi means Hashem listen to my words. These are not really my words, meaning they're physically my words, but they're not my words for myself. When I close out my quiet, my private quiet Shemoneh Esrei, I'm asking Hashem, please accept all that I asked you. When the Shatz closes out the Shemoneh Esrei, he's not really davening for himself. He's just davening for the people. So therefore, he writes over here, Abshat, that you don't have to say Yilir Ratzon. So points at Rabbi Yochanan Vosner, a very simple nafkamina. What would the nafkamina be is, our case, we're switching Balei Tefillah. If the reason why you don't say Yilir Ratzon Emefi is because you're going to say it in Tiskabot Tzaloysan, but what happens if you're not saying Tiskabot Tzaloysan because we're switching Balei Tefillah? But if the reason is this other reason, because Yilir Ratzon Emefi is because it's not my words, it's the words of the Tzibur, then it shouldn't matter, even if you're going to switch Balei Tefillah, you still would not have to say Yilir Ratzon Emefi. And he concludes at the end, Achin Yeshoim Edesov Kosov Nir Medvarov, he says no, he thinks that you can argue that Yehila Ratzon Mefi means it's my physical words. I mean, there's a little bit of a question over here. Do you say Hashem accept my words, meaning the words that are relevant to me, or the words that are uttering out of my mouth, even though they're not for me, they're on behalf of the Tzibur. So again, we have two reasons why not to say Yehila Ratzon Mefi, but, and here's very important, both the Shlo and the Gra were both big proponents of saying Yehila Ratzon Mefi. If you take a look over here, number five, the Shulchan Aruch repeats himself again. This is two places where the Shulchan Aruch talks about Hashem Svasei Tivtach. Writes the Mechaber, number five, Shulchan Aruch, Simin Kuf Yir Aleph, HaChazen Kishemazcho Shemoneh Esrei B'Kol Ram, when the Chazen begins the loud Shemoneh Esrei, Choyze V'Oimer, he repeats and says, Hashem Svasei Tivtach Ufi Yagid. So it doesn't seem to be even a question, every Baal Tefillah, when he starts the Shemoneh Esrei, should say Hashem Svasei Tivtach. So why don't you hear? If you're in shul, why will you not often hear a Baal Tefillah say Hashem Svasei Tivtach? So one easy answer is ignorance. That's always a good answer. But there's a better answer. Take a look at number six. Writes the Mishnah Berurah. The Pasuk Zeh Ushayach LaTefillah. So first of all, the Mishnah Berurah wants to know, why is this not a hefsek? Just throwing out psukim, it should be an interruption. So he says, no, this is relevant to the davening. This is the intro to Chazaras HaShatz. However, he writes, but V'toiv Shiamarnu Belachash. He quotes from a Magen Avram. Magen Avram says this pasuk should be recited, but it should be recited silently. Now, I looked around a little bit. I could not find any good reason for this. Why should it be recited silently? If it's part of the Shemoneh Esrei, then it should be recited loudly. If not, not. What's this middle ground of saying it silently? But that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avram, that he's supposed to say it quietly, which is why you probably don't hear it in shul, because the Baal Tefillah is saying it quietly. However, Shulchan Aruch doesn't sound like that. Shulchan Aruch sounds like he's supposed to say it. Presumably, he's supposed to say it out loud. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, number seven, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, "Ukeshiyachzur Hashatz Hatfilo Yoimer Pasach Hashem Svasai, Avol Eina Oimer Besayf Hatfilo Yile Ratzoyin, Desayim Mechamash Yoimer Tiskablach Hatfilo, But V'Yeshnoi Gimloim Megam Yile Ratzoyin, V'Chein Aminig Atzlonu." So he writes by him in the Vardik, where the Aruch HaShulchan was the Rav. He says the practice was to say Yile Ratzon Imrefi. Now he doesn't say quietly or loudly, but it sounds like at least to say Yile Ratzon should be done. If you take a look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch number 8, he writes, La'acha Shegomar Shleach Tzibur Tefillah, after the Shleach Tzibur finishes the davening, Yoimar Belachash Yile Ratzon. He says Yile Ratzon quietly. This is probably because the Magen Avraham says you say Hashem Svasai quietly. So if you say that quietly, so you say the ending quietly also, which is why many people say both of those endings quietly. If you look in the Chaya Adam, he writes, V'tzorech loimra Hashem Svasai Tiftach, You have to say Hashem Svasai. Avi Yila Ratzon Ein Echayv Lomar, but you don't have to say Yila Ratzon. Why? Shari Yomar Bekash Eskabel. Avol Hanochin Shiyamarnu. But it's nice and good to say it. He doesn't say it quietly or say it loudly, but he sounds like it's better to say it. So we have a real machloikas achroinim on our hands about Yehi L'Ratzon Emefri, but we don't have a machloikas about Hashem Sfasai Tifta. If you take a look over in the Chai Alevi, this Reb Vosner, so he writes over here that he was by the Skver Rebbe. He's a Skver Chassid. He says he was by the Skver Rebbe, and he heard him say something quietly when he finished davening for the Amid and said the words, Amavarech Zayim Oysho Abba Shalom. He assumes what the Skver Rebbe was saying was, Yehi L'Ratzon Emefri. So he has a Maisera from the Skver Rebbe, the previous Skver Rebbe, that you're supposed to say Yehi L'Ratzon Emefri at least quietly at the close, and when a person finishes davening for the Amid. So just in a short recap, Hashem Svasai Tiftach is not a discussion. That you need to say. Either you say it quietly or loudly, but that you need to say. Yehi L'Ratzon Emefri is at least a machloikis. The Ramah seems like to say you don't have to say it. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gra to say it. And we saw some achrayim who say to say it and to say it perhaps quietly. Now, if you take a look over here, number 11, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt makes an interesting observation. We're not too far away from Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt writes, we all know that on Leil Tisha B'Av, we don't say Kaddish Teskabel. We take out the words Teskabot Tzoloysen because it's not a time to focus on our tefillas. So the Rebbe Ephraim Greenblatt writes that if that's the case, so the guy who davens for the Amid, again, it's not Negev Friday night, it's not Negev Tisha B'Av night because there's no Chazar Seshatz, but let's say Shachris morning, where we're not going to say the words Teskabot Tzoloysen, he thinks in that case, then the Shatz should say Yehi L'Ratzon. Why? The reason why we don't say Yehi L'Ratzon Emefri is because you're going to say it in Teskabel Tzoloysen. However, it says Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt, but on Tisha B'Av morning, you're not going to say Teskabel Tzoloysen. Maybe in that case, you should say Yehi L'Ratzon. So when I gave this share in my shul, one of the members of the shul pointed out to me, maybe on Tisha B'Av, the pshat is that you don't need Kabbalah Satfila in your Shemoneh Esrei. Meaning, just like you don't need to say Teskabel Tzoloysen, you don't need to say Yehi L'Ratzon either. I mean, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt is saying is that I need to say the words Yehi L'Ratzon. Teskabel can be the backup, but if I don't have Teskabel, I need to say Yehi L'Ratzon. Maybe you don't need to say Yehi L'Ratzon on Tisha B'Av either. The same reason why I don't have to say Teskabel on Tisha B'Av. So maybe not. But that's Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt's psak, that on Tisha B'Av in the morning by Shachris, whoever's the Baal Tefillah, he should remember that he should say Yehi L'Ratzon for sure, because he's not saying Teskabel Tzolois. Now we get ourselves into the really, very, into the real, real, real touchy topic. Just very quickly, 11b, the Svardim. The Svardim are consistent. They say Hashem Svasai Tiftach out loud, and they say Yehi L'Ratzon Emefri out loud. They're just very consistent. Like it says in Shulchan Aruch, everything is recited out loud. Now we come to the ever, ever controversial question, which comes up in every shul that you daven in. And this is something as a Baal Tefillah you really need to be ready to know how to deal with, is what do you do with the last bracha before the start of Shemoneh Esrei, Go Al Yisrael? Everyone knows, but on Shachris, you finish off the last bracha, so Yisrael, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael. Do you say it out loud? Do you say it quietly? Do you skip it? Do you murmur? What do you do with this bracha? Very, very tricky, because it comes up every single Shachris that you're going to daven for the Amid. So let's tackle.
Before you start,
yeah.
Met somebody in Yerushalayim. He told me, between Mincha and Maariv, he was telling me, he was a Talmud of the Rav, and he said, the Rav said that, and he brought this up, I wouldn't even ask him about it, that if everybody says Gal Yisrael together, we'll have a gula.
So we're going to see where that comes from. We'll see where Rabbi Salvation gets that from. Very good. It's a good message. So this is a very controversial topic that needs really a we're going to go through it thoroughly. So when we're done, you'll see where everything comes from. But there's a very, very interesting historical twist over here, which we need to spend some time on as well. So let's get into it. Where does this all start from? Number 12, Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes, Eina oimer omein acha goa Yisrael. Writes to Shulchan Aruch, you do not answer Amen after the bracha of Goa Yisrael. Why? Mishum davi hefsek. It's a hefsek. What's it a hefsek? Because we know you have to have what's called masmich geula letfila. We want it to be that you go straight from geula Yisrael straight into the Shemoneh Esrei. But if you're going to answer Amen in between, that's an interruption. So we don't have any interruptions. So Shulchan Aruch writes, you don't answer Amen. So Svardim, no questions, you don't answer Amen. However, look in the Ramah. Writes the Ramah, Hago, V'yeshoimim de'oinim amen. No, you do say amen. V'chei no'agim lo'anois achra shleach tzibur. That's our practice. We answer amen after the shleach tzibur. Avol him ispal levad, but if you're davening by yourself, ain oinim amen. You wouldn't answer amen. Now you're asking yourself, why would you answer Amen if you're davening by yourself? So this is a big machlokes rishonim in Maseches Brachos about whether or not when you come to the conclusion of a grouping of brachas, do you answer Amen? For example, everyone knows that we normally don't answer Amen after our own brachas, except when in benching. When we finish the bracha uvinei Yerushalayim, we answer Amen. Why do we answer Amen? So that's the machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim learn because you want to show that till now was deraisa, because the first three brachas of benching are deraisa. The last bracha, atayva meitiv, is only the rabban. So why are you answering Amen? So the way some rishonim set it up is because when you finish a whole group of brachas, you conclude it with an Amen. So Taisus has a kasha. So why don't you say Amen when you finish Manasrei? Why don't you say Amen when you finish Berchas Kriyashma? So the Sfaradim Taka do. They do say Amen. Us Ashkenazim, we never say Amen except for Bavem Cheng. Okay, so that's what the Ramon means over here. But in any case, we have a Machlokes on our hands. The Machabe says, you do answer Gal Yisrael Amen. The Machabe says you don't answer Amen to Gal Yisrael. Well, the Ramon says you do answer Amen. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah points out over here right away, number 13. He writes, the only time you as an Ashkenazi can answer Amen to Gal Yisrael is if you haven't yet started Hashem Esfasei Tiftach. Or obviously further than that. Why? Once you say that pasuk Hashem Esfasei Tiftach, you're already in the Shemen Esrei. You're Shemen Esrei already. You can't answer Amen. So then he writes like this, Yesh medaktikim, there are those that are careful. Sheroitzim lotzis ukuliyam. Mishnah Berurah writes, there are some people who don't want to get themselves involved in this machlokes mechab and ramah about to answer amen or not to answer amen, so they bypass the whole shayla. How do you bypass the whole shayla, writes the Mishnah Berurah? So what do they do? Umamtinim b'tzur Yisrael, they wait. By tzur Yisrael, oy b'shir echadosh olanas amen achash le'achzibur. They don't go further. So they wait, for the Shlech Tzibah to say Gal Yisrael, then they'll answer Amen, then they'll finish up the end of the bracha and start Shemen Esrei. The Kosvu Akol Achreinim Shlo Yofei Moisim. That's not right. Sharehu BeEmtzah Perek Shlo Emes V'Yatziv. They're in the middle of the bracha of the chapter of Emes V'Yatziv. Ve'ilan Shum Amen Levad Mishteimon Manah B'Siv Gimel Bahago. Gam Lechatchila Roy LaHaslo Tzvi Shemen Esrei Im Shlech Tzibah V'Akol B'Shava. Second mistake they're making is you're supposed to start Shemen Esrei together. So therefore, if you're going to wait at Shira Chadosha for him to say Gal Yisrael, so you can answer Amen, you're going to be starting Shemen Esrei after the Tzibur. Ella Eitz Acheres Yesh. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I got a different answer. What? The Nochan La'asoyis K'dei Losses Kuliyama She'yicham in the same Im HaShleich Tzibur B'Shova. The best advice, says the Mishnah Berurah, is let you and the Shatz finish the Bracha at the same time. V'oz Ein M'choy V'lanas Amen, then you don't answer Amen. So Mishnah Berurah says the way to avoid it at every Shachris, what you should do is that you should say Gal Yisrael at the exact same time as the Shlech Tzibur says Gal Yisrael. Then you don't answer Amen. Oy, sheyaskul Shemen Esrei ma'at kaidim HaShlech Tzibur. He says maybe you should say Hashem Svasei Tiftach right before he says Gal Yisrael. Aye, didn't we say you're supposed to be on the same time? Says the Mishnah Berurah, yeah, this is only a few seconds off. This is not terrible. So the Mishnah Berurah, and this is going to be very, very important going forward, Mishnah Berurah has two pieces of advice of how do you manage not answering Amen to Gal Yisrael. Either you conclude at the same time as the Shlech Tzibur, or the other answer is that you start Hashem Svasei Tiftach before him. Good.
The same story like before Shema Yisrael?
We're going to come back to that. Very good. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Next booklet, Belinda will talk about it. Yeah, exactly. I want everyone to keep this in mind. Very good. So let's see. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to be a very innocent Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is saying, listen, if you want to avoid the Shaila, so I give you two eitzes. Either conclude Gal Yisrael the same time as him, or start the Shemen Esrei a little bit before. We'll see why this Mishnah Berurah is very, very important. But before we get to that, let's take a look in the Aruch HaShulchan. Have you ever been to a shul and you heard Ashkenazim answer Gal Yisrael to this bracha? Not really. Why? Because the Aruch HaShulchan writes, he says that even though the Rama says you're allowed to, he says, but, umikomake min hagenu enoikein. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, even though the Rama said clearly that you're allowed to answer Amen to Gal Yisrael, that is not our practice. We don't answer Amen to Gal Yisrael, but instead we avoid it with all these different tactics. And then he writes something very interesting. He writes, v'ulai b'shabbos v'yomtif. He says, maybe Shabbos and Yom Tov is different than during the week. Why? Because he says that there's a shita that holds that you don't have to be masmich geula l'tfila on Shabbos. You only have to be masmich geula l'tfila during the week. So he says like this, so maybe on Shabbos, you can answer Amen to Gal Yisrael, but during the week, you shouldn't. So someone told me that he remembers growing up as a kid, that's what the shul used to do. They used to all say Gal Yisrael together during the week, but on Shabbos, they would talk and answer Amen to Gal Yisrael. Why? Because of this shita that holds that you don't need to be masmech gula tefillah about Shabbos. So if you don't need to be masmech gula tefillah on Shabbos, so then you can interrupt with an Amen. Okay, so writes the Mishnah Berurah. Now, Here's where things get a little, what I call lebedik. The question now is, what do most shuls do? So what do most shuls do, and I say most, I mean like 99% of the shuls, is they don't say Gal Yisrael together with the Shas, but rather what do? They say Gal Yisrael quietly. They end off the last bracha, so Yisrael, Baruch Atah Hashem, and they just, and quiet. That's what most shuls do. Did the Mishnah Berurah say that? No, Mishnah Berurah did not say that. So why do most shuls have this practice that when they get to Gal Yisrael, they kind of just tail off the volume and end off like that? That's not what it says. So if you take a look over in number in page 2, I'm just skipping a couple of Ma'ar Mekayimis because I want to get into it. Source 16. So one of the earliest sources for this practice comes from the Chassan Sofer. Who was the Chassan Sofer? So the Chassan Sofer was a grandson of the Chassam Sofer. But his last name wasn't Sofer. His last name was Ehrenfeld. How was he related? Because the Chassam Sofer's oldest daughter married an Ehrenfeld. The name Ehrenfeld is a very famous name today. They're all Ein Klach of the Chassam Sofer because he was a grandson from his mother who was a Chassam Sofer. The name Ehrenfeld is very famous because that's the Kehil of Mattersdorf. He was this son-in-law of the Chassam Sofer was the Rav in the town of Mattersdorf, which originally was in Hungary. Now it's today in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone knows Mattersdorf. So this Chassan Sofer was a grandson of the Chassam Sofer. And he writes the following. He writes, again, he lived, late 1800s, early 1900s. And he writes like this. U'bekama mekoyim es noigim, the many places the practice is, shashatz misayim berchaz ga Yisrael belachash. So he's the one who addresses this. He says already in his days, many communities had the practice that the shatz would say ga Yisrael quietly. He says, I like this practice. I like it. He endorses it. Even though the many Mepharshim point out, by the Zayde in Pressburg, they did not do this. But okay. The Chassan Sofer says he likes it. And this is what we should do in all cities. Endorsed by the Chassan Sofer. He thinks the best practice, again, he's not saying he made it up. He's saying it was already out there in his time, but he's endorsing it. He thinks this is a good protocol. This is good. Say Gal Yisrael quietly. Okay. Who else was into this? So if you take a look over at number 17, I found a sefer called Eyune Halachas. I forgot to check with the author. It's a contemporary where he did extensive research on this topic. Mamash, this topic of saying Gal Yisrael quietly or loudly. And he quotes over here from the Chassan Sofer that we started off with. And he quotes in the Sefer, Darkei Chaim V'Sholem, Shekei Noig Bal Minchas Alozer. Munkat Sherebbe. The Minkat Sherebbe. The Minkat Sherebbe also used to say Gal Yisrael quietly. And then he writes in the footnote, at the end he writes, U'besefer Baruch Sh'oma, Lebal Tar Timimo. If you look in the Sefer Baruch Sh'oma written by the Tar Timimo, the Tar Timimo was the son of the Aruch HaShulchan. Sadly, the Tar Timimo was killed not directly by the Nazis, more indirectly by the Nazis. He was already an older man when the Nazis invaded. They put him in a hospital for what the Nazis considered useless people, older, weak people, and they just they blew up the hospital, sadly. So he was killed, not the typical gas chambers that we're familiar with, but he was ultimately killed by the Nazis in I think, 41. And his sefer, he writes like this, Shenoigim kol ha-chazanim loy me-brachas u-blachash. He writes that in his days, again, he died 41, so we're talking about in the early 20th century, all the Chazanim used to say Gal Yisrael quietly. Now, I'm just going to point out, I looked up the Sefer, and he writes that. And then he ends off the piece, but they are all wrong. He writes that also. He acknowledges what the practice was, and he says they're wrong, and we should stop the practice. So this fellow in the Sefer is not being dishonest. He's just letting you know that it was out there already in the 20th century, which is true. It was out there. But the Tar Timimo did not endorse it. So that's just something that we should note. If you look over number 18 in the Sefer, Rivei Sefraim, Rebbe Ephraim Greenblatt. So he was asked the same question. Do you say Gal Yisrael out loud or do you say it quietly? And he quotes a Sefer called Yisoid Yeshurun. Yisoid Yeshurun was written by a Rav, Reb Aaron Felder. Reb Aaron Felder was a Rav in Toronto for many years. His son is still a Rav today in Toronto. So he has a Sefer called Yisoid Yeshurun. And there he writes, V'noyim sha'ashatz oimer b'lechisha, the shat says it quietly, k'dei shalei tzarech l'anis amin. And he says, who did he get this from? From Isaac Turnow. Isaac Turnow was one of the Miyaste HaMinhagi Ashkenaz. And Isaac Turnow writes, he's supposed to say it quietly. So he says, I have a good source. Isaac Turnow is a good source. Okay. So we're trying to look for sources to why one should say Gal Yisrael quietly and therefore avoid the issue of Amid. One of the great gedolim that endorsed this practice in the 21st century was the great Reb Chaim Kanevsky Zatzal. They asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky number 19, if this practice, which was done in many shuls, to say guys well quietly, who minig betos, is this a wrong practice? And we should try not to do it. Oh, you should say minig yofa. So they basically asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky, is it right or is it wrong? And his answer was, ra'oi lin hoikein. It's good practice. Reb Chaim Kanevsky endorsed. If you go to Bnei Brak, or and those kehillas that are alpi his psakim, they will say Ga'al Yisrael quietly. So if you're a Ga'al Yisrael quietly guy, and you want to know who's your guy, so you can go back to the Chassan Sefer, and you can go to the Munkachi Rebbe, but Reb Chaim Kanevsky is the most recent Gadol who really pushes for this practice. The problem is, as we'll see in a few minutes, he's by far a minority opinion. By far a minority opinion. But let's keep on going. Look at source number 20. In another Sefer with Reb Chaim Kanevsky, they asked him, Mahua Mikar Lisaim Ga'al Yisrael B'Shachas B'Lachash. They asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky, who made up this thing to say Ga'al Yisrael quietly? The Besifri HaPoiskim Lo Huskeru Eitzazu. It's not brought down in the Sifri HaPoiskim. What do you mean by Sifri HaPoiskim? Means like the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan. So the answer is, we know the answer. It's brought down by the Chassan Sefer. So he answers, Nira Chocham Echa Tikun. Reb Chaim Kanevsky says, it must have been a wise person, V'hu Eitzan Nechayin, and it's a good thing. So Reb Chaim Kanevsky basically said, why Hakmet Chayinik? I don't know who it was, but it's a good thing, so let's go with it. So Reb Chaim Kanevsky was a very big proponent of saying Ga'al Yisrael quietly. However, many, many, many Gedolim before Reb Chaim Kanevsky's time disagreed with him. Let's go through the list. One of the great Gedolim of the 20th century in America was Reb Henkin. Reb Henkin came to the Lower East Side before Reb Moshe Feinstein came to the Lower East Side. They were friendly. Reb Moshe and Reb Henkin were very good friends. They respected each other immensely. But Reb Henkin was known as the Poisek before Reb Moshe ever came to the Lower East Side. Reb Henkin disagreed with this psak. And it's funny, you hear people say, whenever this conversation of Ga'al Yisrael comes up, people always say, oh, Reb Henkin said it's wrong. Yes, him and many others also, as I'll show you in a few minutes. So don't make Reb Henkin the bad guy. He was only the one who maybe was the most verbal about it. Reb Henkin had many psukim that he was very verbal about, that he would tell people openly about. This was one of them, and there's another one which we speak about every year, and we're not so far off from it, right before Rosh Hashanah. Reb Henkin would always tell people not to eat before Shofar. Reb Henkin was a very, very, very against eating before Shofar. My Rebbe Reb Kalman used to tell us that Reb Henkin, he used to go, his father Reb Zelig used to tell him that he should go to Reb Henkin before Rosh Hashanah to get a bracha. So he'd go visit Reb Henkin. Reb Henkin would always tell him two things to remember for Rosh Hashanah. First thing to remember is, don't eat before Shofar. And second thing to remember is daven for other people, not just daven for yourself. So my Rebbe thought there might be a connection between those two things. You know, eating before is more of a selfish experience, daven for other people. He had like a whole shtickle Torah in what Reb Henkin meant. But Reb Henkin was very, very open about many of his psakim. This was one of them. Everyone knows that Reb Henkin was against Ga'al Yisrael B'Lachash. But another one, the other more famous one, I think, was Reb Henkin's psak about eating before Shofar. But I have it in his writing.
I seem to remember that there were two very famous machlokes between Reb Henkin and Reb Moshe. One had to do with the get from a reform rabbi, and I can't remember
the other one had to do with if you have a couple that lived together before they got married. Do they need kedushin, or do they need a get? That was the other one between Reb Moshe and Reb Henkin. Yeah. If a couple lives together and they were already living together, you know, like husband and wife, but they never got married, what's their status, right? Reb Moshe and Reb Henkin were two great kedushim in the Lower East Side. So if you take a look over in number 21, this is Reb Henkin's writing, Kisvei Reb Henkin. He writes, very easy lahoyer, I want to point out. The practice. Again, this wasn't Reb Henkin making this up. This was already the practice dating back to the Chassan Sefer, dating back to the Torah Tamima pre-Holocaust. That what? That the Chazonim are saying Ga'al Yisrael quietly. He says, Shaloi Kedin. It's wrong. What's so wrong, says Reb Henkin? Ki takonas chachamim shashatz yispael b'koil miyotzer ad achash menesre. Really, Chazal wanted that the Shlech Tzibah should daven out loud from the beginning of Yotzer, or from the beginning of Birchas Kriyashma, until the end of Shmenesre. Why? K'dei lehoitzi mis miyusha in a baki. So he can be mighty those who don't want to daven for themselves. That's the whole reason why we have a shatz in the first place. Ay, v'afilu kishakolam b'kiyim b'atakonah karimis. Even though today Baruch Hashem, everyone knows how to daven for their own, but we still keep it. We still have a shatz, and the shatz is supposed to be mighty those people. So Reb Henkin, I don't get it. No one davens like that today. The Baal Tefillah never davens everything aloud. He ends off the last bracha. So he says, but at least Raiva brachs b'achash mishum shebediyavid yoytzen bekitzer shechol brach im mash omes samalach chasim. He says you yoytze with saying at least the end with the brach. Avol akoponim apsicha shel habracha shebeisachas b'barach. You got to at least say the baruch part out loud, and you have to have the end part out loud. But if you're going to end off and say Gavru, and you don't say Gav Yisrael, says Reb Henkin, it's Shaloi Kedit. So Reb Henkin was adamantly against this practice. Not only Reb Henkin, Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Number 22, Shliach HaTzibur Yisayim Brechas Gav Yisrael B'Koil Ram. Writes Reb Shlomo Zalman, you have to say it loudly. And he points out a very interesting observation. He says, V'yafu pishe rabba hadeyes b'din aniyas omen achar brachom ikomokim me'achar shekolo achreinim shetorchol imtzai eitz l'kaim kol shiz b'in yizeh lo yiskiru eitz azul esayim b'balachash. Says Ibshoi Mizalman, we just read a Mishnah Berurah a few minutes ago when Mishnah Berurah was trying to come up with ideas of how to avoid making a bracha on Gal Yisrael. So Mishnah Berurah said, either do this, no, do this, do that. Why don't you just say it quietly? Must be, because that's not an acceptable option, says the Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's a very strong raya. This is one of the biggest rayas that the Achreinim bring. Is that what when the Mishnah, it wasn't like the Mishnah Berurah didn't address it. He addressed it, he was muttering to try to come up with a way to avoid answering Amen. So why didn't he just come up with a very simple answer? Say it balachash. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, Reb Tovia Goldstein says it also. Shema mino, that that's not a viable option in the Mishnah Berurah's world. Let's continue on, let's see who else is against it. 23, Emes Liakiv, Yaakov Kamenetsky. Mashi yesh noigim loimer balachash tevas gal Yisrael k'dei shalai yana amin. Says Reb Yaakov, the practice that people don't say gal Yisrael aloud so they won't have to answer amin, einoi nochoin. It's not correct. Ki atakona hoise shashatz yoyti es hasibar b'bechosa. Because the takona was a shatz, supposed to be moitzi with the bracha. How can I be moitzi with the bracha if you don't hear the bracha? So we have, so far, if you keep in check, we have Reb Henkin, Shlomo Zalman, Reb Yaakov, and we continue. Number 24, Reb Shmuel Vosner. Shmuel Vosner is quoted as saying that Betfila Shachris Yisayim Brichas Goy Yisrael Mashat B'Shova. When you daven in Shachris, you should finish the same time as him. Oishi Yaskolei Mashem Svasai Tiftach Ma'at Koydim Shemisayim Mashat Goy Yisrael. Or, these are both advices given to us by the Mishnah Berurah. Either finish the same time as him, or start Hashem Svasai Tiftach before he gets to Goy Yisrael. But he should not say Gal Yisrael quietly. And on the footnote, he quotes from Reb Shmuel Vosner. Reb Shmuel Vosner says, it's not right. This practice of saying Gal Yisrael quietly is incorrect. Let's see one more source, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Nefesh HaRav. He quotes from Rabbi Soloveitchik, Min Hanochin Shashatz Yemir Afa Chasimus Abracha de Gal Yisrael Bekol Ram. Said Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's correct that Gal Yisrael is said out loud. Like same argument. The whole idea of the brachas is to be mighty he who can't make it. If you don't say them out loud, the guy who can't make the bracha doesn't hear you. You're not able to be mighty him. You didn't do your job. Your job as a shatz is to make the brachas for the people who can't. And I listen and I'm yaitz. But if you don't make the bracha, I can't listen. And then he writes, and therefore, Rabbi Soloveitchik Lishitase held that the Yehi Ratzon at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei also has to be said out loud. That should also be recited out loud. And then Rabbi Soloveitchik says the following, you need to have 9 people hearing. Rabbi Soloveitchik's opinion was like the Svardim. That everything has to be loud. Hashem Svar say Tiftach out loud. Yehi Ratzon out loud. Gal Yisrael out loud. Everything is said out loud, which is what the Svardim Taka do. They say Hashem Svar say Tiftach out loud. They say Yehi Ratzon out loud. And therefore, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that is the more correct way to go. So we have quite a few Gedolim over here. Not just Reb Henkin. Not that Reb Henkin wasn't a Chas V'Shom, very Chosh of a Yid, but he wasn't a Das Yochid. We just went through a whole list of Gedolim. Different Gedolim from different parts of the world even, who all said you should say Gal Yisrael out loud. Now, take a look in the last page. If you look in the Sefer Emek Halacha, I'm almost positive, I forgot to check, I think Emek Halacha is from Reb Tovia Goldstein, I'm almost positive, or it's from Reb Chasko Roth, I always confuse the two of them. They both have svarim that sound similar to each other, but I think it's from Reb Tovia. So he writes, he says, I looked and I could not find any good source for saying it quietly.
He didn't see it.
Neither did Reb Chaim Kanievsky, apparently. Because when I asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he said, I don't know, someone made it up. But he writes, "Ubu Shulchan Aruch Simin Samach Vav Shochol Kedam Machab Rama." Iyodim Amen Achab Bechaz Goy Yisrael. We saw this together. There's Machloikis Machab Rama. Do you say Goy Yisrael or not? Machab says no. The Rama says yes. No, Snu Achreinim Eitzes Kedesh Shiyatz Midayisav. All the Achreinim scramble to come up with ideas. Mikom Akam Loy Matzasi Bishem Poisik Oetzis Sheishlig Magoy Yisrael Balachash. No one ever said like this. Just say it quietly. This is Reb Shem Zalman's Taina. Ulechem in Adin Yesh Legoyme Bekol Ram. Therefore, he thinks you should say it out loud. Now, if you take a look at Reb Ephraim Griblat, he quotes over here from the Eishel Avram. The Eishel Avram was the Bechacha. He was the Rav in Bechach. That was the town. He's in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, where he writes, no, say Goy Yisrael quietly. So now we have a source. We have the Eishel Avram. That's a source. And then he quotes from his friend, Reb Isaac Osband. Reb Isaac Osband was a Rav here in America, the early 20th century, where he says that the idea of saying Goy Yisrael quietly, you know where it came from? It came from the yeshiva system. That's where it originated from the yeshivas. Now, this is where it's going to take us on an interesting historical journey over here, the yeshivas. What does he mean by the yeshivas? He means pre-Holocaust yeshivas. We had Baruch Hashem, we had major yeshivas throughout Europe, throughout Eastern Europe. We had the Volozhiner Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva, and we'll go through all the yeshivas in a few minutes. And he says this minute of saying it quietly came from the yeshivas. Now,
is this part of that because yeshiva guys they were able to daven on their own?
No, again, maybe that would be the lumdus, which we'll come back to at one point, a very shtickel Torah from Rabbi Yaakov. Maybe that would be the lumdus, but again, if that's the case, they should say everything quietly. It's a good svara. I like what you're saying, Ron. He's saying a good lumdus.
I know,
Yaakov.
Yeah. The thing where we do
we'll get to it. We'll get to that. Now, we'll see that if that Rabbi Yaakov was meant as a joke or meant seriously. We'll come back to Rabbi Neder in the last booklet. But the journey that I want to go on for a few minutes is that even accurate that was to blame the yeshivas? Now, there's another time they blame the yeshivas. The other time is also Rosh Hashanah. They say that who started this thing of eating before Shofar? It's the yeshivas. They started this. Why? Because in the yeshivas, they used to have very long davening, and all the yeshiva boys were hungry. So they used to eat before davening. They always blame the yeshivas for eating before davening. Okay. So here again, they're saying that this minhag to say Goy Yisrael quietly emanated from the yeshivas. Okay. Now, the reason why this is going to be an interesting sell is because I quoted to you many gedolim who all went to the yeshivas. They all learned in Lithuanian yeshivas, Eastern European yeshivas. And yet, they all still said to say it quietly. So, to say it loud. So let's start off like this.
Is there a prevalent minyan today in the yeshivas?
We're going to get to that now. Well, at the end of this page, we're going to get to it. If not, Belina, the next week. So let's start off like this. So Yitzchak Abadi, or Yitzchak. Yitzchak Abadi has a sefer, which I like to quote. So he goes like this. He says in number 30, he says, Hini lemoshel. Birchaz goa Yisrael shachru shenogu shachazam emi achasimu balachash. He's also against saying goa Yisrael quietly. He says, he goes to the same argument. He says, this is the opposite of what Chazal wanted. Saying Goy Yisrael does not make you a shliach tzibur. He says, you know why they put you up to the bima? They didn't put you up to daven because you have a nice voice. They put you up to daven to be mighty those people. But if you're not going to say the bracha aloud, you're not being mighty anyone. How could you be quiet? Same argument we keep on seeing. And I already heard that this is the minig in the yeshivas. Again, this is an apparent sell that it's the minig in the yeshivas. Now you have to remember, Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi learned in a yeshiva, a very famous yeshiva called Lakewood, in the early 1940s under Reb Aaron Cutler, which we'll come back to in a few minutes. Ulam im hayu ma'ayanim b'halacha karoi, hayu makirim v'yayidum es tu'usam. So the Yitzchak Abadi, if they'd actually lit up the sugya well, they'd realize that this is a colossal mistake to say Goy Yisrael quietly. It's absolutely wrong. You should say Goy Yisrael out loud. But he also has this idea that it comes from the yeshivas. The yeshivas, again, when we say the yeshivas, we mean the pre-Holocaust yeshivas of Eastern Europe. They all used to say Goy Yisrael quietly. So this sefer that I quoted earlier called the Iyun Halacha, so he quotes a letter from Pinchas Scheinberg. Pinchas Scheinberg died a few years ago, not so many years ago. But where did Pinchas Scheinberg learn? Pinchas Scheinberg was born in America, but he learned in the European yeshivas. He learned in two major European yeshivas. One yeshiva was the yeshiva that I went to, Sharat Torah. He learned by Reb Shimon for a little bit of time. He also learned in YU, but he also learned in the Mir. So Pinchas Scheinberg saw European yeshivas. So they asked Pinchas Scheinberg, what should you do with Goy Yisrael? Look what he writes. Kvar milsi amura be'inin zeh. I already spoke a lot about this. Shonim rabbis for years. Shetemesi al minigzeshen es chadash esayim belachash. I'm amazed by this new practice of saying God Yisrael quietly. What do you mean new practice? Pilcha Shaim, you were in Europe. You went to yeshiva. You must have known what they did. Sharei hachasim bebracha zuhi chedek bebrichas krishma. V'chayves ha-shalich tzibu lo'omir b'korom. You have to say it out loud. This is very strange to me. Pilcha Shaim didn't know what they did in Europe. Pilcha Shaim was in Europe. He lived in the European yeshivas. He didn't know. So this is why I have a little bit of a problem over here to say that this idea is the practice of the European yeshiva. However, this sefer, he has a letter from Rabbi Chiya Milcha Feinstein. Who was Rabbi Chiya Milcha Feinstein? So first of all, his last name is a dead giveaway. He was related to Ramesha. More than that, Rabbi Chiya Milcha Feinstein was the son-in-law by the Briska Rav. More than that, Rabbi Chiya Milcha Feinstein had a little yeshiva together with Rabbi Soloveitchik in Boston in the early 1940s. A little kivutzah, a little group of boys that they had in Boston together in the yeshiva. And he writes the following letter. He writes, number 32, left corner. Da, you should know, delesayim belechisha atevas ga Yisrael, ayirak tevas bilvad. The ending of Ga Yisrael quietly, nogu kein bechol kihilas medinas lita. They did this in all the communities of Lithuania, ubechol ha-yeshiva sham, and all the yeshivas there. Ve'eni mischav and rakli kihilas ha-mesnagda, I don't just mean the litvishers. Ela af lekihilas ha-chasidim. Even the chasidish ishtiblach, said Ga Yisrael quietly. Then he writes, "You came mishpachti ha'isa nimnes al chasidei Kordonov. I come from Kordonov chasidim. V'gadalti bi'aldusi b'abcherusi aitzel zikoni. I learned by my zeda ha'goyin of David Feinstein. I believe this is the father of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who ha'yirav b'sterbin lekihilas chasidim. Shkin ha'yisham Rav Noisev lekihilas amisnagdim. V'chein doidi ha'goyin Rav Moshe Feinstein, my uncle, Rav Moshe." Moshe's first job was in Be'uzda. V'chein doidi agoid of Mordechai Feinstein from Shklov. V'heim nogu v'heim v'kaholom nogu l'sayim b'lachash. So the Litvishes do it, the Chassidim do it, everyone does God Yisrael quietly. So they asked him, so he tells Weiter, he says, L'acham mekein, after I left my hometown, Halachti lamadati eitzel hagoyin the Bris Zalman Meltzer. I went to learn by Bris Zalman Meltzer. Bris Zalman Meltzer was the father-in-law of a Baron Cutler. V'hagoyin the Baron Cutler be Kletzk. I went to learn in Kletzk. That was his yeshiva. V'af heim nogu kein. And that's what they did in Kletzk. Now again, Yitzchak Abadi was a Talmud of a Baron. And he says, I don't know where they made this thing up. But he says that he was in Kletzk by a Baron and they did Kleisra quietly. I don't get it. I'm missing something here. He writes, so he's testifying again. I'm not chas v'shalom doubting Rabbi Chiya Milcha's story, but it doesn't seem to add up based on what Rabbi Abadi is telling us. Unless Rabbi Abadi says that he heard what his Rebbe did in Kletzk, but he thinks it's wrong. Could be. And then they asked him the always great question: what did your father-in-law do? What did the Briska Rav do? So he writes, "Al minog choisni." You want to know what my father-in-law did? Who's his father-in-law? Hagriz Harav Mibrisk. His father-in-law was the Briska Rav. Right? Reb Micha Feinstein was the son-in-law by the Briska Rav. So he writes, "Eini yochel ha'ishav, I can't answer you. Why? Shekin bizmani nog choisni lespal b'chidus. Because by the time I came to the family, my shvei was already davening b'chidus. So I didn't know what he did. That's what he writes. But he writes, this is the best part. U'besiyam dvar of ha'ishav amai. At the end of his letter, he writes, "Omnam eini nichnas la'etzim adidam asan ochen eil shenigim nigzeh." I'm not getting involved in halacha. But I'm telling you facts. If you want to know what they did in Lithuania, hatshuva berura. It's simple. The bechol lita, in all of lita, nogu l'sayim balachash. They said it quietly. Wow. So now we got to look backwards and say, one second. So what were all these gedolim talking about? So believe that the next week, we'll conclude with this very touchy topic, and then we will get to our last booklet about the Shliach Tzibur and what you need to know to be a good Shliach Tzibur.